In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. We have two remarkable examples of faith today and belief. Faith and belief are not static things. They're not just things that are in your mind. They're how you act. They're how you order your life. We can see examples in the woman, especially, of great initiative and great courage. The Lord said to her, not to Jairus, but to her, "Thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace." Let us look at her a little bit, and then we'll look at Jairus and see this example of faith that is so important for us to learn from. This is a perfect example, this story, of what I tell you pretty much almost every weekend. You read the scripture to inculcate in you virtue that you need to have, knowledge that you need to have, perhaps a rebuke that you need to have. The scripture is written for your benefit, for you to be touched by it, not just to know facts, but to have it touch you to the core, for it to resonate in your heart. And what this woman did should resonate in you. Perhaps it's not something you would normally do. It should resonate in you that you have far to go then to have good faith. Perhaps it is the way you live your life, and it should then encourage you to continue to live in the same way. This woman had an issue of blood. She was continually bleeding. In that society, for a Jew, to be continually bleeding meant you were continually ritually unclean. You could not touch another human being, or else they were ritually unclean. You could not go to synagogue. You could not be in a gathering of people. Often your family would not even touch you. You were like a leper. And this woman had this issue of blood 12 years. So she had endured much. But she knew that Jesus was a great healer. She might not have known that much more than that he was a great healer. And she must have surmised that he was from God. Probably didn't understand yet that he is God. And she did something incredibly courageous, incredibly risky. She was not supposed to be in a crowd of people. That crowd was thronging about Jesus, so everybody's jostling him and touching him, which means for her to go to touch him means that many other people touched her. Every single one of those people was ritually unclean. If they had known that she was bleeding, they would have had to go through prescribed steps to become clean. And obviously they would have been quite upset with her. So she had great courage to do what she did. Now, she's human. She had courage, but she didn't want to announce herself. So she, with great humility, thought, "All I need to do is touch the hem of his garment, and I'll be healed." And so she did this. And immediately she felt within herself that she was healed. The power of God so overwhelmed her that she was positive that she was healed. And that was great. Except then the Lord decided to make an example of her, not in order to rebuke her, but to praise her, great courage and her great faith. Of course, to say great courage and faith is to really be redundant. You cannot have great courage without faith. And so, he says, "Who touched me?" And of course, everybody thinks that's kind of a silly question. Because, of course, many people were touching him, even inadvertently. And she, showing great humility, great courage, she had just been healed by the Lord. What's she going to do, run away? Some people might have done that. Run away so that they don't get noticed. But no. She went before all and declared the reason, which meant everybody must have gasped and was looking at her and was thinking, "How dare she?" But the Lord looked at her with love. And he had said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Here we see incredible faith. It takes courage to be a Christian, brothers and sisters, especially in our day and age now, because there are so many things that are not remotely Christian that are labeled as such, and you're considered to be a Neanderthal if you actually live according to the gospel. It takes courage to have faith, to not care for our status, to not care what other people think. Let us talk about Jairus, a person with faith but less faith. He wasn't praised like the Lord praised this woman. Jairus had some courage because he was a ruler of a synagogue, which means he was part of the elite. Probably a minor part of the elite, not at the very top, but certainly part of the ruling class. And the ruling class didn't like Jesus. They didn't like him because he told the truth. And that's the same thing today. When people tell the truth, there's an awful lot of other people that aren't going to like them. And so he took a risk by going to Jesus, by going among the common people and jostling about to get to Jesus to say, "Come heal my daughter." It took some humility. It took some effort. It took some courage. Nowhere near what the woman did, but definitely, according to his development, his spiritual development, he was pushed to the absolute limit. And so when the Lord is going to heal his daughter, of course she's dying, and there's a time that transpires because the Lord causes this ruckus so that he can mention this woman and show her faith. And so now, after the woman is healed, somebody comes from the synagogue and says, probably one of his servants, "Don't trouble the master. The little girl's dead." And what did the Lord say? He said, "Fear not," or actually, "Stop fearing. Believe only, and she shall be made whole." And so, Jairus, probably with his heart feeling like a stone, believed as best he could, and he went with Jesus to the house. And of course, we know what transpired. He made the girl rise from the dead. Now, what kind of faith did Jairus had? Already, we've mentioned that he had courage and initiative. But also, the Lord required of him something else. He required of him patience. The woman had patience for those 12 years. Jairus must have had patience for something that seemed like 12 years, that walk to the house, an endurance. And here's another aspect of faith that especially is uniquely Jairus's in this story. He didn't listen to the self-talk. That's a psychobabble term. It's one of the few psychobabble terms that actually is an intelligent one. We have self-talk. We talk to ourselves. And the things that we say are foolish and are negative and are unbelieving, much of those things. And he had that going on in his head, but he didn't listen to it. Perhaps he didn't think his daughter was alive anymore and that there was a piece of him that felt pessimistic, but he didn't listen to the pessimism, and he went. He didn't listen to the self-talk, to all those negative things that we say to ourselves about our lives, about the lives of others, all that stupid talk that's inside of us that comes from our passions, and it also comes from the devil. And we let it in because we're very weak. We don't really guard the portal of our soul very well, so all that junk is in there all the time. And faith is to not listen to that self-talk. I'm going to tell you something personal, because I think really that the goal of a priest, or the role of a priest, I guess a really good priest this would not be true, but for me this is true. I, as a priest, am a sinner trying to teach other sinners not to sin. And out of my own infirmity, I learn the things that I should tell you. A friend of mine once said, every sermon is autobiographical. It's true. So I'm going to tell you something very personal about faith. I pray the Jesus Prayer every day for things, some of which are not happening. I don't know if they'll happen. And it's a hard thing to do it for an extended period of time. You do it, and you'll find out what I'm talking about. You'll find out that there's the self-talk that comes in, and there's the spurious thoughts, and there's the negativity, and there's the sometimes even anger and shame, and all kinds of other thoughts come in while I'm praying the Jesus Prayer. And there's always, not always, but often enough, sort of that little thing in my head that says, don't trouble the master kind of thing. It's like, I'm a sinner. Why would the Lord hear my prayers? But we have to be like Jairus when we pray. And we have to just keep on praying and not listen to that. Now, some of you might not know what I'm talking about. That's because you don't pray with enough oomph, enough effort. Just saying, rattling off your morning prayers, that's not really going to bring you to this kind of abyss. So rattling off a few morning prayers, saying Ochanash once in a while, that's not going to bring you to what I'm talking about. But if you pray with effort and with desire, with intensity, then you know what I'm talking about. Because that self-talk comes in. That stuff about, well, the daughter's already dead. That's not true. For the Lord, the daughter was sleeping. Yeah, she was dead to our eyes, but not dead to him. And so the things in my life that might feel metaphorically dead, they're alive to God. All I need to do is follow him to the house. And that's what I do when I pray the Jesus Prayer for an extended period of time. It's my one hard and fast rule for my day is to do this. And it's hard. But I do it. That's an example. For me, not a great example because my faith is weak. But I'm at least walking to the house with Jesus because I know the end of the story. Jairus didn't know it, but we know it. We know that his daughter was raised. So why are we listening to all that talk inside our head? It doesn't make much sense to me, and yet it still happens. So I will take this as an opportunity to tell you, if you want to have real faith, then you have to learn to pray with intensity. Pray with desire. Don't expect it to be so easy, because it ain't. Not at all. But it is fruitful. Do it every day. Do it with great effort. Remember what happened to Jairus. Don't listen to the thoughts. And just keep going. That will help you. And I would assume each one of you has things that are deep in your heart that you want so much it hurts. And probably some of those things, you have no idea how they're going to happen. In fact, if you were honest with yourself, in your heart of hearts, you'd say, I don't think they're going to happen. We can't think like that. We can't say that. We can't say the girl's dead because she's only sleeping. We have to not listen to those thoughts. And the best way to not listen to those thoughts is to rebuke them with prayer, to lash them with the whip of the name of Jesus, and to pray anyway. That's what all of you should start to learn to do. Each one of you should have a chotki and should learn to pray. If you wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and you can't go back to sleep, that's a good time to pray. It's a hard time to pray, but it's also a good time to pray. Learn to pray with great intensity. And learn to consider these obstacles to be inconsequential. To the Lord, that girl was alive, and it really only matters what his perspective is. Because my perspective is always flawed. I never see the truth completely. The Lord sees everything exactly as it is. That's why I pray, even when there's self-talk going on in my head. That's why you should learn to pray that way as well. All these obstacles that are mentioned in the story can have symbolic meanings for us. That crowd, the people that made it so hard for Jairus and the woman to get to Jesus, and also made it hard for Jesus to get to the house to heal the girl, that's our passions and our thoughts and all the terrible conversations we have with ourselves and our unbelief and our weakness. The woman's impurity is likened to our own impurity. Oftentimes we don't feel we can approach the Lord because we feel impure. Well, she did it anyway. That's what you got to do. Of course you're impure. But the Lord has commanded you to approach him. There's 24 scriptures that talk about it, probably 4 dozen or 10 dozen, that tell us to approach the Lord. Even if we are impure, that's just an obstacle that you need to just step on over, or crawl over, or climb over, or bust through it with a hammer, whatever you got to do. The other obstacle that is probably the one that causes us to fall the most and fail the most is time. And that's, in microcosm, our life is shown by the trek that Jairus made from the place of the healing of the woman to the house where his little girl lay dead. It took some time to get there. Who knows how long? Every second must have seemed like an hour, or a day, or a year. And we pray, but then we don't hear God answer. And then we stop praying. I know someone who left the church. He fasted, but he didn't feel anything from this great fasting that he did, this additional fasting that he did during Great Lent. And that was one of the biggest motives that caused this person to leave the church. Couldn't wait. Didn't have endurance. There's a lot of faith in this story. A lot of things we must learn to do. We must learn to have courage. I'll mention one more thing about courage. It takes a lot of courage to pray. It doesn't take any courage to just rattle off your morning prayers or your evening prayers or say Ochanash once in a while. That doesn't take any courage. That's just habit. It takes courage to pray with desire, to go to the Lord and say, I'm unworthy, but help me. It takes a lot of courage to stare at the abyss. It really does. If any of you have not seen that abyss yet, then talk to me. I don't know much about it, but I can at least tell you a little bit about how to get to it. It takes courage to pray, to really pray. God, give us this courage. But this courage is not just something that exists in abstract. It's not an island. It also has with it our desire to follow the commandments, our love of our brother, our giving of our life to others, our patience, our compassion, all the other things. And altogether, as we grow in these things, our courage grows. And then we can be courageous and actually demand from the Lord things. You know, the scripture shows that. Sorry, this is a tangent, but I think it's an important one. Abraham, what did he do? He demanded from the Lord. He bargained with the Lord about how many there might be righteous men for Sodom and Gomorrah not to be destroyed. He stood toe-to-toe with the Lord and bargained with him. Jacob wrestled with the Lord and wouldn't let go of him until he was blessed. That's what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord wants you to argue with him. Now understand, of course, we have not argue as we would with just a regular person. But he wants us to have enough courage to say, Lord, help me with this thing. And when you understand that, when you develop that kind of courage, then all kinds of things happen. Begin with the Jesus prayer. Not just saying your morning prayers or reading some of the Psalter. That's all very good to do. But begin with the Jesus prayer. If you don't know how to do it, talk to me about it. We'll be having some chotkis arrive pretty soon. And if you don't have one, get one. And learn how to pray. Learn how to be courageous. And to look at the Lord face to face and say, Lord, I need this thing for my loved one. I'm not going to stop praying until you give it to her. Learn to pray like that. Be like Jairus. No matter what you're thinking, keep doing it. Because the thing that you think is dead is only sleeping. To the Lord, all things are alive. God grant us courage. Amen.